Hey guys, I'm Jordan Frommer. I believe in hunting hard, hunting smart, and having a fun time while doing it. And shooting limits? Well, that's just the icing on the cake. I revel in the journey just as much as the successes it brings. From ducks to dogs to decoys and guns, we'll be talking tactics, strategies, and what it takes to get the job done. Load up and take aim. This is the Duck Gun Podcast.
What's going on, folks? Thanks for joining me on another episode of the Duck Gun Podcast, the podcast that helps you become a better waterfowl hunter. I'm Jordan, your host and guide, and alongside me tonight, per usual. Oh, I said per usual. We got Hunter from Iowa, the co-host of the Duck Gun. I'm going to have to work on this intro, but we are coming at you with a podcast I'm super excited for. So stay tuned for all this, but we got Weatherby coming on. We got Tyler, the marketing manager over there, and Kyle, the shotgun producer and manager. The only way you've missed this launch is if you're living under a rock. It's been all over social media and super cool. So, you know, I even posted a video over on my YouTube channel and some stuff on the Instagram as well. So stay tuned for all that to come. But Hunter, we had a wild weekend. We can't share anything about, so it doesn't help.
All we can share is that I'm tired and wore out, and it was grueling, but satisfying.
This is the coolest project. You guys know all the projects I've done. So this is 100%. Like, it's not even close.
No.
The coolest project I've ever been on. So, and a project I have worked on. So, yeah,
undertaken anything. It's going to be awesome.
However you want to say it. So we got something really, really cool in the works. And it'll be on the next podcast episode. Yeah. It's coming. But we don't have a lot of updates. It's March. It's cold outside.
It's cold for you. It's like 65 degrees here. It's beautiful outside. Here I am doing this. It was like
24 degrees when I got home last night.
Yeah, it was cold here last night too, but today it's got a south wind and it warmed right up. It's beautiful out.
Nice. Yeah, that warm weather. When that warm weather comes around, it makes me even more excited to like get outside and work on the projects. When it's like 24 degrees, I'm like, where was this in duck season?
Mm-hmm.
And why is it here now when I can't shoot ducks?
Yeah. So I mean, we woke up the one morning, it was 18 degrees when we were working on the project. It was kind of brutal.
You almost said it, didn't you?
I did almost say it. Let's move on from it before I slip.
Right. Well, we weren't talking about it. You brought it
up. I know.
So, yeah. Unfortunately. There's not a lot of waterfowl going on that we can talk about. So, we better get a quick word from our partners. And then we're going to jump on with Kyle and Tyler. Man, I almost switched their names. They're spelt too closely the same that... Mentally it's going, but anyways, let's jump with Weatherby, guys. Big thanks to Weatherby, our partners over there, making some groundbreaking waterfowl shotguns, and the one that just released, the Sorex, like I said, it's been all over social media. We're gonna talk about it a bunch on the podcast episode as well, so stay tuned for all that. But guys, if you're in the market for a shotgun, you definitely need to check out Weatherby. You got the 18i, now they got the Sorex, now they have Element. I shot the Orion side by side a lot this season as well. So they're coming out with some great options for the duck hunter. Also like to give a big thanks to Onyx, guys. Onyx is one of the best apps out there when it comes to duck hunting, when it comes to hunting in general. You can use it for property lines. You can use it for public versus private, figuring out where that line is. On the private, you can knock on doors and get that permission. It gives you the tax information so you can find them a lot quicker. When you're in North Dakota, you know, it even has phone numbers sometimes that you can give them a call. And also, it has like online. What am I looking for?
Posted for non-hunting.
Yes, it's like electronic online. Posted. Yeah, yep. As well. So when it comes to waterfowl, they're getting everything covered and keep adding more and more awesome features. Check them out over there, guys, at Onyx. Also like to give a big thanks to Final Approach. Yes, Final Approach, the one-stop shop for the duck hunter. They got camo. They got waders. They got blinds. They got decoys. And they've been coming out with new carves, new styles of diver decoys, mallard decoys. You name it. They got it. It's off season. It's time to make that list. Go through that checklist of the products you need to replace, the tools you want to add to your tool belt. And when you're in the market for that stuff, check out Final Approach, because chances are they have it and it's going to be a quality purchase that you're making.
And what's the code over at Final Approach?
Yeah, it's fabrand.com and code DuckGun. Also like to give a big thanks to Motion Ducks. Guys, Motion Ducks, the jerk rig on steroids. You heard it here first. And it's a great product for getting the lifelike motion, the ripples in the set. It's super easy, super simple, quick to set up. Use code DuckGun10 over there at motionducks.com/DuckGunChronicles and get your hands on one. You won't regret it. Alrighty, let's go ahead and get the folks from WeatherBN in on this episode. And we'll jump right to it. Alrighty, folks, we are back and we have Tyler, the marketing manager for WeatherBN, and Kyle, the shotgun product manager over there at WeatherBN as well. And we're excited to have you guys. How are you guys doing tonight?
Oh, doing good, man. How about you?
Doing good. Definitely. Definitely excited to be here. Excited to talk all things waterfowl and shotguns with you. How you doing, Tyler?
I'm doing good. Things have been good. It's been busy over here at WeatherBN. We've been doing a lot of different things, so it's been fun. Last 6-8 months have been a lot of fun. I've just done all the things. So.
Oh, man. It looks like a breakneck pace. Watching you over there on social media, you're flying around the country, you're going every which way, you're doing shotgun launches and Kyle over there, you're jumping across borders and and keeping it busy. So that's awesome for sure. So you guys make it out for waterfowl season?
Oh, just a little bit.
Oh yeah.
Nice. Nice. You guys, I guess I should direct at one of you guys. Kyle, let's hear what you're up to this waterfowl season.
Yeah, do you say Kyle or Tyler?
I thought you said Kyle, but
I did say Kyle.
Yeah, I'm so excited that I'm just gonna cut Kyle off.
Got way too excited there, bud.
You did start season off.
I did. I started season off, so I was up in Eastern Canada chasing honkers, shot a few Jack Miner bands there.
Oh man, that's awesome. Yeah.
We shot 17 bands in the course of 2 days. So that was unrealistic to say the least. Then hopped back, shot Montana a little bit, took my long haired friend here to Canada.
Yeah.
We went up, just stomped on him in Canada. And then I did Oregon, more Montana, Wyoming, California. The heck else did I go?
Did you say Oregon?
Yeah, I hit Oregon. I don't know, all over.
Nice.
Kind of started becoming a bit of a blur because I didn't sleep much at a certain point. So
right. Awesome. Did you have any?
That's what I've been doing now.
Do you have any of your destinations that kind of stood out beyond like the rest of them?
For me, Oregon was great because it's always like going, but it's going back home for me. So
okay,
we'll do the old home stomping grounds on the Columbia River. So that was great. And then California stood out, and I think that was sleep deprivation more than anything. So we set a pretty big spread for the snows and then heard them all lift about an hour before sunrise because somebody punted them off the roofs.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so we were already about, 3,000 decoys deep that morning, so that was a little rough.
Oh, man. Didn't turn into the hunt you're hoping for?
No, I mean, we still shot 22 speckle bellies, but, We had high hopes for, a nice 120 bird day at least.
Right.
Didn't go so well.
Nice.
That was a long one. And we joked about just dumping gasoline on the field and light the decoys on fire out there and not picking them up.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot to pick up. That's a lot to set up, a lot to pick up.
That was a lot to pick up. And we drank something like, I think between the five of us, I think we drank something like 18 energy drinks. So it was my heart was having palpitations. But we started at 3 a.m.
That's pretty early. Are you an energy drink guy? I mean, that's a big thing in the duck hunting community.
Right. It definitely is. I used to drink Mountain Dew a lot, but now I don't know if I've matured to the stage of coffee or what, but I bring a big Stanley cup of coffee for the duck hunts every time now. And it's an enjoyable part of it for me as well.
Yeah.
I had to give up the energy drinks. No more.
Yeah, I'm usually coffee, but rolling on snow as it became a Yeti cooler full of energy drinks.
it's definitely easier. You don't have any preparation with the energy drinks. You just roll by a gas station, load up your blind bag and get to it. So,
well, we were hunting with a good buddy of mine. He's a professional soccer player. And so rolled into his camp, you open the fridge and there's just cases of energy drinks because he's a big snow chaser. And so like, the morning before head now, he just like opens it and just takes the old arm sweep and right into the cooler. And it's like, that should be enough. Let's go.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. So you said Oregon as well. How's Oregon as far as a waterfowl state?
Oregon is a phenomenal waterfowl state. It's actually underrated. Biggest thing is there's, if you're on the west side there, you don't get a lot of snow. You never get freeze up. Tons of water, tons of ag to work with. Plus, they've got a late goose season that goes all the way to about March 10th for honkers. So that's a pretty stellar little way to go about it. That's a special permit zone area, which, you know, taking a permit test is pretty easy. But the biggest thing over there is variety. So, like, you know, when we're over here, you're killing mallards nonstop and you're, you know, looking for a bonus duck. Over there,
right, it's like, right.
You're going to shoot probably six different species in a 7-bird day.
Nice. Yeah. So if you had a preference, it's the variety over the mallards.
Yeah. Yeah. It's don't get me wrong. I love shooting mallards, but every now and then after you've shot a lot all season long, it's nice to see a pintail or a widgeon. So
I got a question for you there then. So we have a 60-day season here because we're both in the Mississippi Flyway, and we've had arguments going back and forth about whether or not 60 days is enough days to like satiate the hunt drive, right? Like after 60 days, I'm not ready to be done hunting. You guys have what, 90 in the Pacific Flyway?
It's a 100. Flyway, yeah. They're still in the liberal season, so yeah.
So
90 days, 7 birds.
So with 90 days to go chase birds, do you think you guys are you burn out by the end of the season, or are you still ready for another 10 days of season by the time it's done?
No, I'm still ready for more. That was kind of where the old special permits zone comes into play. It's like, okay, ducks closed in January, but I got February and the first half of March to kill more honkers, so.
Right.
There's so many different ways to hunt them over there too. So like if you're getting burned out doing one thing, you can always shift gears and do it in a different way.
Yeah. I mean, you got so many different small ponds. You can cut them in the back sloughs. You can hunt the big water. Like there's so much stuff. So,
right. I definitely agree. We get the, you know, we don't have 90 days. We have 60, but, we travel zones, travel multiple states to keep it going. And like you said, late goose, it would be, if it was an actual 60 day and that's it, man, it would be heartbreaking at the end of that 60 days to not have any waterfowl left to chase. So I definitely agree with you on that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's nice having that longer season. And then, I mean, yeah, same thing for us. We travel and everything. So it's like, I've started off before on the open week in Canada before, and then it's like you carry that all the way till like, you know, March 10th. It's like, you get a long, long amount of days.
How's the pressure in Oregon? Is it, I mean, West Coast? I always assume that it's pretty sparse compared to like Mississippi Flyway or in our areas.
I don't know if I'd say that.
I don't know if I'd call it sparse. There's some pretty good amount of pressure over there. So, you actually started looking at it. Now there's a lot of big names that are out in that kind of Oregon, Washington area. You know, you're talking Strand, you're talking Saunders, you're talking all these guys. And then, I mean, I've been in areas where it's like, if you're not at the boat launch, you know, at 5 a.m. and you show up a minute late, there's already going to be about four or five rigs in front of you going. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I wish, man, I would dream of a day to show up to a boat landing and have five boats sitting there.
Yeah. Well, a big thing is, so because it's not reservoirs for us, it's river access. And you're talking like one of probably like in 15 miles, probably one of like 7 boat launches. So,
right.
And then some guys are sleeping on the river because that's what I used to do. So,
and then you got to be smart because you got to play tide and do all the things, right?
If you're on the Columbia, yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm not so much. So,
yeah, that would be an interesting factor that we don't have to deal with, you know, anywhere we're at around the Great Lakes or even down the rivers. We never have to deal with tide. That's something we don't think about. So,
yeah,
I mean, does the tide roll out enough that it, you know, I mean, it takes away your access to the river or how's that work?
Yeah, you know, it will fully take away your access. I mean, I've got a buddy, he ended up getting stuck and having to sit there till 2 a.m. for the tide to swing back in so he could get back to camp. So,
oh man.
Yeah. You don't want to push the limits of, how good you can run a boat in shallow water, because all of a sudden everything turns into a mud flat.
Right.
So, definitely. And it just depends on the tide too. I mean, you're going to have some days that are big swings and some days that aren't. So,
oh yeah. Awesome. Well, it sounds like you definitely had a great season and we'll have to wait until September rolls around to get back after them again. Tyler, there's one in particular I want to hear about, but I'll let you kind of.
Yeah. I'll kind of roll out. So yeah, just kind of, actually, I think I kicked it off. We hunted maybe Montana, Wyoming before we went to Canada in October, but then we went to Canada, which was my first time in Canada. It was pretty amazing. We got to shoot, there's real good hatch speckle bellies this year. And with the warm weather, late October, there were still a lot of birds around. So we kind of hit that right, which, towards the end of the year down here in the States, the warm weather kind of messed with a lot of guys, but it was
right.
that particular trip was pretty awesome. And then just hunted a bunch of Montana, Wyoming. And then I got to do a Kodiak trip. It was kind of the highlight trip of my entire year. So, one of those dream hunts. It was pretty amazing hunting, salt water, big waves out of boats from shore, doing the whole thing. So that was kind of my big trip of the year. And then again, got back, hunted Montana, Wyoming pretty hard. And then, kind of to end the year, went to Arkansas and shot some snows and specs. So.
Nice. That's a full season right there.
It definitely was a full season. You throw in the big game side too. Me and Kyle both do big game hunting stuff.
Oh yeah.
Barely even scratched the surface on what I'm talking about. But the waterfowl season here is pretty awesome, especially living in Wyoming as a resident. You get the big game season that ends kind of at the end, mid to end of October. Big game seasons are kind of wrapped up here in Wyoming on how they do their draw system. So then it just turns on the birds. It's like the second season starts.
Oh, yeah.
Is why I really enjoy kind of the setup that we got here. So,
yeah, that's definitely unique as well, for sure. And so you said Wyoming and then Montana. Like, how far are you guys from Montana?
Just a couple hours. So, but
that's not bad at all.
Like, we hunt all over different spots. There's a lot of different spots, but then, 8 hours from Wyoming. So,
and did you get tired of the mallards as well, or you
fine with shooting that? There's no such thing. There's literally no such thing as being tired of mallards. No, I did not.
Not saying I get tired of them, but
no, I'm just giving you a hard time.
I will shoot something else too.
Right, right.
I'm good with mallards.
Right. No, it's good to have some variety. We don't, where we're at too, we don't get much variety. It's just mallards and honkers. Early season, we get some wood ducks, but it is nice to get variety for sure. Hunter gets some good variety being on the Mississippi River as well. But yeah, just giving you a little hard time because mallards, usually a lot of people think mallards are, top of the food chain when it comes to ducks, but it's not always the case.
Yeah, this year kind of made me think a little bit different about mallards just because of some of the birds that we were chasing in Kodiak. We, there's some bucket list birds there. If you're kind of one of the guys who are chasing, what is it, the 40 or chasing 43.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we got to shoot harlequin, longtails, a couple different species of scoters. It was pretty awesome.
You got the other Barrow's
Goldeneye. Oh, Barrow's Goldeneye. Those were pretty cool too.
Nice.
So that always rolls into the next question for each of you. What's your favorite bird to shoot and what's your dream bird to shoot?
Oh my God. Favorite bird to shoot, canvasbacks. Shoot them all day long if I get.
Couldn't agree with you more. We're one and the same.
Yeah. That's that has been a favorite since I was a kid. So bucket list right now. I do need a harlequin. I haven't shot one yet. That's actually on the list. So
pretty awesome.
Yeah.
How'd you not get the invite to go and Tyler did.
Good trip then.
Yeah, I was in Oregon shooting pintails, which I got mounted this year.
Nice.
Finally.
Yeah, that's a pretty close second. A pintail is an awesome.
I've shot a fair amount of pintails. It was just for that time of year, I shot one that should not have been as nice as you want. So you got on the wall.
Right. So we got to hear more about this Kodiak trip because it's definitely one of the wildest places that you can go and hunt ducks. And like you said, there's a good variety of bucket list birds that most people don't have the opportunity at anywhere in the country. So, I mean, what was it like? You got to tell us more. Give us more of the details of the Kodiak trip.
It's just like, man, it's so hard to explain this. The scenery is just so crazy. You would never think that that's where you're going to hunt ducks. So, it takes a couple days to get there kind of thing. So we flew, you know, we had a drive to Billings and then we flew to Anchorage and then on a little bitty charter plane, we charter planed into Kodiak, right? Honestly, into this small gravel freaking air runway. So we do that. And we were doing, so for Weatherby, this trip to Kodiak is kind of the perfect scenario because there's like, you can chase blacktails, you can chase fox, and you can chase ducks. So we shot blacktails and ducks. So we kind of did where we can shoot our rifles and shoot the shotguns thing. So we really, like, when this opportunity, like, presented itself, like, selfishly, I wanted to go for the ducks. But it was also just, like, the ultimate testing ground for Weatherby in general from the rifle side.
Right.
And especially just for the Sork side, man. There's no, like, rain, snow, salt water. Like, it's, you know, boats, big waves, bouncing all over the place. It's, like, really just, like, the perfect spot to, like, see if you got a gun that's going to, like, live up to it. So when we, I think it was like May of last year, started planning this trip, and it was like, man, if we're going to do the shotgun thing right, like, it needs to go to places like this. So You hear about all these spots we're talking about, but you know, that was pretty orchestrated because we wanted to make sure the source, like, truly was field tested. We could shoot it on the range all day, and there was thousands of shots before we went to the field with it. Yeah. But you know, we earmarked these little flyways, and you know, Kodiak was one of those. So yeah, you fly into this bay essentially, and there's this landing strip that's gravel, and you're there hunting, and you're, you know, hunting, you know, deer up on the mountainside. That was all like non-guided kind of thing. It's just they drop you off on shore and then you hunt all day. So I was fortunate to kill a buck the first day, and you know, I was not picky by any means because I was ready to shoot ducks. So
get that out of the way, why don't you?
we filled a couple of duck tags or buck tags, and then Adam, Weatherby, and myself, we went, and we there were still guys hunting deer, so we went and we did just like open, like, sea duck hunting. Like, we had big stringers, we were hunting 120 foot of water kind of thing. And
oh wow,
it was just cool putting out rafts of long tails, and we're, you know, there, and then as the scenery starts to light up, you're in this big bay and there's just mountains, and it seems like the skies there are always like purplish blue. So like when the sunrise is coming in, you just see, it's just like, it's hard to believe, like, that's where you're hunting ducks, especially, you know, I grew up in Missouri, so I'm hunting like marshes, things like that. It was like, there's not anything I can even compare it to. So yeah.
It's like, what level of, is there any population out there? Is it just, I mean, like, how wild or how far out there is this?
So Kodiak, the town, has 10,000 people on it, but the entire population is like 12,000. So like the little town, I guess you'd call it a town, the airstrip that we flew into had 30 people that lived there year round.
30 people.
Yeah. Mm. And then the rest is just charters, fishing boats, and honey. So it was pretty incredible. So that first day, my first shots or my first duck was a harlequin. So it just, it was one of those things where it was just perfect. The bird came right in. He was left to right. I still remember it. And dang, shot him. And I like honestly could not believe some of the video of like us going to scoop it up. I was like, I can't believe it. I just shot this duck.
That's crazy. So, yeah. What's the
pressure off?
It does.
Yeah. Right. What's the limit on like the number of harlequins you can
so harvest? We went with, shout out to Foxtail Lodges, that's who we went with.
Okay.
Nolan, he was a great duck guide. They actually have, I think you can shoot 6 harlequin per year there, it's 4, but we could only, for us, we only shot 2, and we 2 per person. We were only allowed 2 per person. So I actually only shot 1 and was passing a bunch because they only wanted to take mature birds. Like here it's like, we're at the end of the day, you're going to harvest these ducks because most people are all like, they want to conserve, really like conserve. They're like, hey, you shot your super plumed out Drake Harlequin. Like, we passed on birds too. Like, meaning like, hey, that one's not plumed out. That's a 1 or 2 year old bird. So like the birds that we were shooting, I think our whole crew, only one guy did not shoot his harlequin, and another guy, two guys shot 2, but there was plenty of opportunities to shoot multiple harlequin. But just the way they ran the lodge, I actually really appreciated that, is like, hey, this is a finite resource. You're here for a reason. Let's not just bang on them to bang on them. So So I think it was total, you could take back, six, sea ducks. Cause there's some like Barrow's Goldline doesn't count as a sea duck. But you got Scoters, you got Harlequin,
King Eiders,
not so much there. Different, same flyway, but different. They don't actually really go into Kodiak very much. The far north. So, they'll get some every once in a while, but not consistently.
One of hopes of leopard, they should have went right.
It was just pretty. There's three different types of scoters. I only got to shoot one type of scoter. I think another couple guys just shot some white wings, but I shot a couple of common scoters, which was fun. So we did that. And then one day we targeted Barrow's Goldeneye, because there's kind of two different ways to hunt. You're going to hunt either from shore, and that's when you're like really targeting Harlequin and Barrows. And then you're hunting out of like a big, you know, gray sea duck boat.
Fiberglass boat.
Yeah. And you do it that way where you're in like 100 foot of water and you're running long lines doing the whole thing. And there you're targeting three types of scoter, some Harlequin, and then long tails. So
awesome. Pretty cool. So you got, obviously you're getting those mounted.
Yes, we're going to do a pretty sweet dead mount and for the showroom and downstairs. Okay. So we have if you come to Weatherby and Sheridan, we have this awesome showroom with cool taxidermy. It doesn't have any ducks in it yet, but me and Kyle are like, we're going to change that. So we're going to have a sweet dead mount. It'll have like a couple scoters, some Goldeneye, and then a couple long tails and two or three Harlequins.
Nice. Tyler, did you make it back to Missouri at all, or
I did. The week I went back to Missouri was over Thanksgiving, and it was pretty tough sledding. So we actually scouted. It was funny. All my buddies were at work and we're going to all the places that we hunt. And I was the guy driving around calling them at work and be like, no birds here, no birds there. Found a pocket of 200 here, things like that. So we ended up just not hunting to just hunt. So I did not get to hunt Missouri, unfortunately. I wish I would have went late. I heard it got a little better later,
right?
But so the week I was there, it was not good.
Like last nice. Week, season, everything turned on.
Yeah. That late cold front right there in January definitely saved some people at the end of the year. I feel like,
yeah,
you know, those were that were still in season. Some of us, we were already closed for where I'm at, as far north as I am. So,
yeah, we were closed up when that hit. Actually, for Montana was closed for birds at that point.
Yeah, we hunted the last couple of days this season. Mm-hmm. And then I got good
at it.
Yeah. Normally.
Nice. Tyler, you got any other hunts you want to hit up on your season, or is that pretty good coverage?
That's pretty good. I did get to hunt Arkansas. The warm weather kind of messed with us a little bit there, but we got to shoot a lot of specks and a lot of snow geese when it was warm. So that was pretty fun. I definitely have to make it bad for the timber side of it. We didn't have very much luck on the timber side because they just didn't have ducks. It was like mid-December, and I know it like turned on crazy good in January.
Right. Is that where your that footage came from of your on your
it teaser was, video? It was a beautiful spot. It was, you know, Stuttgart. You're, you know, literally like as a little kid living in Missouri, it's like, oh, let's go to Max. So we went to Max and did the whole deal. Went in Arkansas. So
nice.
We went there, saw some guys at the gun counter. Honestly, it was pretty funny. We were saying we were talking to our gun buyer there. And there was a couple of guys were like, did you guys say you're from Weatherby? And then you get the cool Weatherby stories. It's like, I got a 240 Weatherby that shot so many dudes, like all that stuff, which is awesome. Oh, yeah. So
awesome. So last week, you guys were pretty busy. Well, I guess, you know, we talked before we went on air. Every week's busy, but a little extra busy. You guys dropped your new shotgun, Solarex. And Kyle, you were the shotgun product manager on this. So,
yeah.
Success?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I ran the living daylights out of it all last season, and it was it put up a pretty good body count, even for the worst season I remember in, I don't know, 15 years. So, it's been a great gun. We did a lot of slight modifications as we went through season, starting back in September, making a couple tweaks here and there, then took it to Canada where we beat the living daylights out of it. And when Tyler and I were driving back, and I was like, I'm going to make, you know, this change, and I'm going to do this. And you know, just kind of hammering through stuff. And yeah, up until about mid-November, then we finally quit tweaking it, and then we just ran the daylights out of it.
Yeah. This was such a fun project because we got to be a part. I even the marketing team got to be a part of it a lot. And it's like, what was everything that we wanted in a shotgun?
No.
And, you know, we had Italian-made shotguns with the 18i, and it's a great shotgun. We get very good compliments on that shotgun. But to us, there needed to be a few more features. So, like, just talking with Kyle and the whole product development team, it's like, What do I want when I go into the store? What are the things I'm looking for? So we just started building this shotgun.
Yep.
And it just started, it was cool. It went from, you know, concepts on a whiteboard to concepts in a drawing to first set of samples to, you know, seventh iteration of a shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, okay, let's now take this to the field. And then when you get to the field, now there's, you know, three more iterations because you're tweaking all of those little things that really mattered. Yeah. So.
Right.
You see this one shotgun at the end, but that shotgun might have been 15 different shotguns throughout the process, which is fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We made a lot of tweaks to it. I mean, we started it. It was almost a year to the day that we launched it. It's when we started really sitting down and actually mapping out what we wanted for that shotgun to be. So it was really cool to actually be able to actually pull that off in a single year. Because I didn't know if we were going to be able to, but our partners in Italy are phenomenal guys to work with. So, you know, those late night phone calls for me, for them, where it's middle of the day for me. And I would like tell them like, hey, I want to change a few more things before you send these over. And like, it was just an awesome project to work on and kind of get to build something that, you know, wants to be the first thing I reach for in the gun safe. So.
Definitely. So you guys have, you know, the other shotguns you have in your lineup, as far as like semi-auto shotguns, you got the Element and the 18i, like, you know, as far as like this shotgun, like, what is it meant to do in your product lineup? Is it meant to be, you know, the best waterfowl option? Is it meant to, like, what was the goal in the production of this?
So the goal on this one was basically, like, we had the 18i and it was a great gun, but it was a bit outdated by the time, you know, we got to the 2023. We're like, this thing needs a bit of a facelift and it needs more features. Like, we're looking at, like, how we hunt, what we do. It's like, well, if we're going to do this, let's build the best waterfowl gun that we can build that can also cross over and do turkeys and do a whole bunch of other stuff as well. So we kind of started looking at it. It's like, you know, we need oversized controls. We need to change the lifter design, because I don't know if you've ever done it on the 18i, but I have absolutely jammed my finger in that thing like you wouldn't believe, and it hurts like heck. So, like, we, you know, redesigned that. That was one of my big complaints. Tyler is a diehard turkey guy and he thinks red dots are necessary. So we drilled and tapped it. So it was like, you know, we just kind of started going through everything that we as diehard hunters want. And so
right.
I think we kind of landed on something that's pretty slick.
I feel like we also wanted a shotgun with a soul, you know, like what we do good on our rifle side. If you follow us on the rifle side, we've always been known for having really good, like, custom features, cool paint jobs, always pushing, like, the limits on that stuff. And it's like, well, you know, the best shotguns in the world are made in Italy, so there's no getting around that. But it's like, how do we make this still Weatherby? And the answer is our partners there. They're a family-owned business, just like Weatherby,
yep.
Which that clicks together. And then it's like, okay, how do we make this feel and look more truly like a Weatherby? And that's when we get, like, hey, we're actually going to finish the, like, what do we do well? We do really good on, like, stock finishing and assembly and tweaking and doing all those things. Well, we'll finish and assemble them here in Sheridan so that, like, our employees are, you know, hand finishing these with paint and stuff.
Right.
And then just the custom features in general. Like, if you look at our rifle line, you can get, like, titanium actions. You can get carbon barrels. You can do all of these things at a production level that's usually like a custom rifle. So we wanted to do that same thing with shotgun. So, you know, where we priced this shotgun, most of the shotguns that are going to have oversized controls, you know, drilled and tapped, made in Italy, doing all these things are going to be much more expensive. So we wanted to bring that and, like, give a great value to it. So
definitely. Yeah. I think you guys knocked it out of the park with that for sure. It's I got my hands on it. It's a super cool shotgun. And then, like you said, the finishes and you know, the hand brushed paint job on it too, definitely looks, I mean, it looks awesome. Because from a distance, you're not sure what it is. You know, it's just like a really cool looking, shotgun camo, and then you get it up close and you're taking a real close look at it, and it's like, man, you guys blew it out of the water with that. Whose idea was the paint job on it?
That was actually one of the guys on our product development team.
Okay.
He's the color whiz, because I'm like half colorblind, so like I usually rely on him to come up with some pretty snazzy schemes, and he's like, well, we could just do the house and do this. I'm like, actually, it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, right.
And
like, if somebody would have told me that they're gonna take like hand brush and like just randomly like take a swipe here and there across the bear, I would have been like, man, that's a dumb idea. Like, who's thinking of this? But then when you see the final product, it's just awesome. So
yeah,
you guys have a favorite camo between your three options?
Ooh, I want to hear Tyler's first.
I think so. Our first sample was the Midnight Marsh, which is the black one.
Right.
And I think that one has quickly grown to be my favorite because it looks so darn good. I think it's like once I started getting it in the field, I just love that because I like the slew a lot too. Yeah. But for me, it's going to be that Midnight Marsh. It just looks really good with bottomland. It looks good with a bunch of different camo. That's what I like about it, because I change up. I'm by no means a camo loyalist. So I'm doing different camos for different scenarios, and it just, man, all those shotguns just look good with everything.
You have more camo in your closet than girls have dresses in theirs.
That is true.
I will say on the Midnight Marsh, the nice thing about that is it's super unique, because you think about like anybody that has like a black camo, right? You know, the slew, you know, there's a lot of people who do like a brown type of camo setup, which, you know, they look cool, but there's a good variety of those. Whereas that, the uniqueness, it's like, I think if you see that one at a distance, you're like, oh yeah, that's a Weatherby shotgun. So it's like, you can definitely tell with that camo in particular. I think that's my favorite as well, of the three you got.
Yeah, I'm all about the slew though. That's me.
The tungsten is nice. Pretty cool too.
The tungsten looks cool.
So good in Kodiak. So
listen, if I was a diver guy, I would definitely rock the Storm.
That's true. 100%.
That's true.
For sure.
Right. Probably can't go wrong, to be honest.
You got to have one of each color that I'm covered no matter where you go.
Right. There you go. That's solving some problems for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely. So successful launch and everything, and you guys are off to the races with it.
Yeah. Things have been good. We've gotten a lot of good reception. If you guys, anyone's who's consumer of content, be looking for that. We really stepped up our game on the content side too. We're not going to slow down on that. We always like to take recommendations too. Like, sometimes we get stuck out here in the West, but we want to come to other people's flyway. So if people have good ideas of where to go, we're going to be traveling all over the place with it. So
I'm working
awesome.
On the East Coast stuff.
East Coast for sure.
couple I'm working on right now.
Go shoot some black ducks.
That's a bucket list bird right there.
Black ducks and some brant.
Black ducks and brants. That sounds fun.
Yeah, I gotta go far east, actually, still to Gray Lakes.
Gray Lakes would be cool.
Yeah. So
awesome. Well, we definitely appreciate you coming on. Is there anything I'm missing on the shotgun side of things? Oh, you know what? We didn't talk about, we do definitely need to hit up some of those features, because a couple thoughts we've heard from people who looking at it. You know, most people are head over heels excited about this shotgun coming on the market, but you know, no matter what you do in life, there's going to be some people that it's just
some haters, got
a certain attitude, right? So they're haters. If you're not doing anything right, if you don't have haters in life, to be honest. So but one question we got is we should talk about the feature, because you have a feature in there where you can switch it to left-handed, which is, to my knowledge, that's the first I've ever seen that. Am I wrong on that, or are you guys the first to do that?
So basically what we did is we took a side charger design and made it, kind of hybridized it to into what we wanted for a left-hander. So it's been done, but not for a lefty. It's been done primarily for a side charger for like tactical and free gun shooting. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't do that. I just duck on.
Yeah. Kind
of, yeah. So that's a cool feature
system.
Yeah. So the way we designed it, so the shift system has a left side cut on the receiver. So basically it's just a swap of the charging handle over. You're going to drop your trigger group out. It's a single pin once you drop that out to swap the safety around. put that back in there. And then the big thing too, that has, if you're a diehard left-handed shooter, is make sure to take the stock off, swap your cast. That way you're really lining everything up just right for yourself. So it's a great little way. Like if you never shot lefty and you've always shot a right-handed gun and you kind of want to see if you like it, you can kind of play around that. It's, you know, like a couple buddies of mine are southpaws. And so like their biggest complaint always has been the charging handle cycling in front of their face. So,
right.
You know, they're big.
That's something, as a right-handed shooter, I'd never thought about till, you know, till kind of talking about the, you know, the feature you guys added. I'm like, that is true. You got that charging handle right in front of your face and it's snapping back and you know, and it's right in your sight picture. And I, as a right-handed shooter, it never occurred to me that that would that'd be a problem left-handed shooters have.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was always their complaint. It's like, you know, they were always telling me, they're like, you know, I don't hardly see the shell coming out. Like, that's not bugging me. It's what's bugging me is this giant thing bouncing back and forth right in front of my eyeballs. So you get that out of their viewpoint so they can focus and be target focused. Then it's like, all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is way better. So the nice thing is it's a gun that basically now a left-handed shooter can go find on a rack where, you know, some dealers aren't going to stock left-handed guns because they don't sell enough of them, or when they do, the guy doesn't want the one on the rack because it's the wrong camo pattern. So
right
now that gives kind of a little bit more feasibility and attainability to get a left-handed shooter to be able to walk in a store and be like, you know what, that one right there will work for me. So
yeah, the other big advantage I noticed with it too is like if I had it, and I have a lot of people come hunt with me pretty often, and I don't own a left-handed gun, and sometimes I just have to tell left-handed shooters to kind of suck it up. But yeah, it'd be nice to have one, that way we can switch it back and forth when people come hunting with me.
Yeah, yeah.
So, we were at Pheasant Fest a couple weeks ago, and we kind of gave a sneak peek of the shotguns. And we had a dad say his kid was left-handed. And I was like, well, if your son doesn't really pick up the left-handed thing, you got yourself a new right-handed shotgun.
Right. True. Definitely. So who gets the credit on coming up with that idea?
That was a group of us sitting in Germany last year with our manufacturer sitting there drinking beer, talking. That was actually a group concept. They had a side charger for 3-gun shooting there. And we're like, what if we did that? But then we did a couple other things. And they're like, well, we could do that. And it's like, all right. So, you know, best ideas come around when you're sitting around drinking beer. So
definitely. Nice. So the other kind of complaint, you know, that some people might have said is, hey, that gives more debris can get into the gun that way.
Yeah, I've heard it, and I was kind of like wondering the same thing myself, but I can tell you that I have shoved that thing through the bottom of layout blinds. I have done all sorts of stuff to that gun I really shouldn't even tell people I did to it, and it's not the issue. So usually the biggest thing I always see guys, if they're getting, you know, junk in their guns, it's because they're sitting in a layout blind that's got grass that's fallen inside it. They drop a shell, reach down, grab it along with about 5 pounds of wheat, and then shove it right down in the underside of the loading port. So I've never had the issue of that much ingress of stuff into a gun. And I mean, I took this thing down the rice fields and, you know, it fell over a couple times and it's in the mud and it never have any issues.
And if you are worried about cleaning, I mean, it's an inertia shotgun, so it's pretty easy to pop out the trigger group and get in there clean. So with, you know, I think everyone needs to be a little bit better about maintaining their shotgun in general. So this thing is like 3 or 4 pieces. So if you are super worried about that, it's such a simple system that you can get in there and clean it. And it's not true. It's really not a hassle.
No, it's not. You pull it out.
I mean, who hunts with their gun open anyway? You have a shell in there. You have it shot. You're ready to hunt. You know, it's closed on both sides at that point. So there's not really extra grit going to be getting in there.
Yeah. It's such a skinny port compared to everything else. It's like, you're telling me that the giant hole on the right hand side where everything comes out of is less likely. Yeah. So.
Awesome. Good deal. Well, if I'm missing anything, you know, now's your chance to kind of chime in with any other points you'd like to add, or anything else on the shotgun you'd like to let the audience know.
No, I think the last thing maybe is that it is available in 20 gauge too. On our 18 eyes on the waterfowl side, we never offered a 20 gauge version. So it is going to be available in 20 gauge. Awesome. So we got the full thread. They're on the 12 gauge side. You can do 3.5 or 3-inch chambers. And then on the 20 gauge side, offering that in this kind of waterfowl.
Yeah. Exactly. And if you're definitely a snow goose guy and you need a magazine tube extension, SureCycle makes magazine tube extensions for it. So throw one on there and go kill some snow geese.
Heck yeah. Looks like you guys made a great gun, and I for one am excited to see it in season, and it's super cool you guys have it in the 20 gauge as well. I know that's growing in popularity for waterfowl hunters as well, and that's a great addition as well. So definitely appreciate you guys and the time that you were able to come on here and you give us some great stories and great adventures from waterfowl season, and also sharing the whole process to getting that gun up and running, and definitely excited. So that's all we got for today. Let's go ahead and wrap her up. I'm Jordan from Duck Gun Chronicles, Hunter, co-host of Duck Gun Chronicles, and Kyle and Tyler from Weatherby, and we'll catch you guys on the next one.
See you guys.
See ya.